Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour three, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an excellent day. We're here to talk Mavs with you. Another disappointing defeat to the Indiana Pacers, as I'm pretty sure Brian just broke his elbow approaching his microphone position.
Oh, no. You need
coming off the couch here.
You okay? Wow. Hit the funny bone?
Krusty's in some bad shape. You need to hit that life alert thing right now. You're falling. You can't get up. Ready?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm okay. Oh, happy birthday, Shireen Williams, by the way.
Happy birthday, Shireen.
Yeah.
I heard that was a hell of a shot.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was just trying to keep my mind on something else there. Oh, wow, that hurt.
Well, happy birthday to Shireen.
Yep, thank you.
Don't want to gloss over that point. Nope. Bobby Corella, Mavs.com, joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. How the hell are you doing, Bobby?
I miss having fun, guys. I really miss having fun.
Man, that was a glorious time right before and right after the All-Star break, wasn't it?
I remember it. I remember it so well, and yet it seems so far away.
What's your take on why things have gone so bad over the last six games defensively?
Man, how much time do we got? I mean, you can boil it down to a few main things. Opponents are shooting pretty well against the Mavs, especially from three. But that is, in many ways, a direct result of a lot of defensive breakdowns. Feels like a lot of things that are happening on the weak side right now for the Mavs are not supposed to be happening, whether it's guys just getting caught in traffic or losing focus or taking unnecessary gambles or just not being close enough to their guy. Teams are just getting a whole lot of corner threes against Dallas, and they're shooting almost 50% on those looks over the last five or six games. And so, you know, whenever you're giving up a lot of open looks from three, then you feel like you need to overcompensate from that, which then opens up things around the basket, and all of a sudden the whole house of cards just collapses. And so, I mean, I think it's a combination of systemic failures, of individual mistakes, and, you know, a little bit of puck luck, but you have to control the things that you can control, and they have not been doing enough of that for sure over these last five games.
Jason Kidd said after the trades that we need to be patient, and we didn't want to hear that because they were on a winning streak, but, you know, how much more patient do we need to be here for things to fall in line, you think?
I mean, it would be great if it was like November or December right now, because then you would have a lot of time, but as it stands, I mean, they're only, what, one loss ahead of the Lakers for ninth? And I think the Warriors are only two losses behind the Mavs, and they're in 10th right now. And So, you know, and you got three head-to-head games against them coming up, including the first one next week. So, like, you want to right the ship as soon as possible because you don't have a lot of games left. A lot of the games that you do have left are against teams that you're competing with for playoff positioning. And so, like, there's really not a lot of time to be patient. You know, some of it, I would say, is, you know, especially these last few teams they've played have had bigs that can step out and shoot the three. And a lot of the teams the Mavs beat during that seven-game win streak, just that simply was not the case with their roster. And Dallas typically is going to match up better with those kinds of teams that can't just go five out. You know, that'll allow Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford to hang out toward the rim, block shots, get boards, and all that stuff. But you're going up against guys like Miles Turner or KP the other night in Boston, all of a sudden you have to step out on them, and you're putting guys in situations they're not very familiar with. And so some of it is personnel, but Dallas has still not found a way to match up against those teams, which is a problem because once you get to the playoffs, you're going to be going up against a lot more of those teams than you will teams that play these non-shooting bigs. So, you know, the time for patience, I feel like, was a few months ago, unfortunately, and you don't really have that luxury anymore.
Bobby, how do you weigh the risk and reward when it comes to Tim Hardaway Jr. and the amount of minutes he's getting at night? Because you know when he's on, obviously, he can give you 30 points, but defensively, he is so poor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in last night's game, I think he only played, what, 12 or 13 minutes, which I want to say is his lowest in a game all season, you know, outside of maybe if he got hurt early in the game or something. I mean, you know, Tim is typically – up near like 25 or 30 points. But his minutes have been trending down these last few games, which, I mean, I get it. You know, whenever he's hot, he's scorching hot, and he's one of the only guys on this team outside of Luka and Kyrie that you can kind of realistically see getting 20 points on any given night, right? And if his shot is not falling, yeah, he's not the kind of difference maker on defense or as a playmaker as a guy like Dante Exum is in the backcourt, and he's certainly not as long or as disruptive as guys like Derek Jones or P.J. Washington or Josh Green. So if the shot's not falling, you know, I understand him not getting as many minutes, but at the same time, like Dallas just, especially since the trades, you know, even when they were winning games, their three-point percentage has dropped a little bit because they're starting to play more guys that aren't really three-point shooters, you know, in like the plus sense, guys that are going to clock in at like 40%, high 30s, things like that. You know, P.J. Washington, Derek Jones, Josh Green, he's kind of streaky, but whenever he's on, he's on. But Maxi Kleber, you know, these are a lot more guys that are going to be shooting closer to the mid to low 30s, even on a good day. And so you need shooting, you need spacing to allow Luka and Kyrie to create. So Tim is very valuable in that respect, but if a shot isn't falling, then it's like, man, what do we do? You know, because shooting is what he does. So I do kind of feel J. Kidd whenever he says, like, look, we have to stay confident in him and we have to keep trusting him, because there really is maybe nobody else on the roster that can do what Hardaway does. But just like with the defense, they need him to snap out of it fast, because you know, these losses are racking up really, really quick right now.
Bobby, is there any chance they're playing too many guys?
That's a good question. You know, they've been rolling with a 10-man rotation in the first few games since everyone's kind of been healthy. It's your starting five, and then like Maxi, Dante, Exum, Hardaway, Gafford off the bench. And, you know, it's like been Derek Jones Jr. as well. You know, and I think a 10-man rotation isn't too much. But where it gets kind of, I guess where it does feel like there are too many guys playing maybe is because Luka's still playing like 42 minutes. Kyrie is still playing like 38 minutes. And so you are shuffling all of the other guys in and out of the lineup so quickly. And in some of these games, because of foul trouble or matchup problems or whatever, Derek Lively's only playing like 13 or 14 minutes, or Daniel Gafford's only getting like five. So all of a sudden, all these other spots, you're cramming as many guys in there as possible, which I kind of get from like a philosophical standpoint, because you haven't been healthy all season, so you want to see what's working and what's not working, or what can work, what combinations are good, what combinations are bad. But whenever everyone's kind of figuring it out and you got multiple guys slumping, you know, it's really hard to establish any sort of like continuity or rhythm or chemistry, communication on defense. And then on offense, you know, even guys that are slumping, maybe they're not playing enough to snap out of it, to get a little rhythm going. So it's really tough. I mean, it's kind of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because you want to find out what you have, but, you know, there's only like 15 games left in the season. So it's I think right now they're kind of paying the price for a lot of injuries that they suffered earlier in the year, because they're still looking for answers right now whenever most other teams are starting to peak.
Bobby, is there when you look at this this team, and, you know, I'm kind of thinking about people like to – maybe say, oh, it's effort, you know, defensive effort, lack of. And then you hear him say, well, everybody loves playing for Jason Kidd. Is there a chance that someone steps up and say, listen, if you don't play hard for Jason Kidd, he's not going to be here anymore? Is that a thought at all by you?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I think coaches generally will take the fall whenever team success doesn't happen. And, you know, this is the third season now that he's been the head coach, and, you know, the defense started great his first season, and in the last couple of years, you know, they've been in the 20s. Now, granted, for most of this season, they were at least like closer to league average, but, you know, those numbers have really taken a tumble over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I think, I don't think it's going to be like you're going to get a press release tomorrow morning or anything, but, you know, the pressure's on everybody. The pressure's on everybody right now, you know, and that's not just the coach. I mean, that's also Luka and Kyrie. That's also all the role players, clearly. I mean, you know, there were some pretty interesting reactions in the building the last couple games. Whenever Hardaway's missed shots, like, you know, fans are getting kind of tired of seeing the losses. And I know the players are getting really frustrated, too. And so, you know, I think everybody's kind of feeling the pressure right now. But to your point about some of these issues just coming down to simple things like effort, like, I totally agree. You know, I think the the Mavs defensive system in some ways is not perfect, but I feel like some of that is because of the personnel that they have. And so it really comes down to everybody needs to execute. You know, they do not have the margin of error on defense that a lot of these other really, really good teams have, because those teams have better defenders or longer defenders or more athletic defenders. The Mavs don't really have that luxury. And so if one guy messes up, even for 1 second, the whole thing can collapse. And that has just been the case way too many times over the last week or so.
Is there any indication that they're not playing hard for their coach anymore, or that he might be losing his authority in any way?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, I think it's anybody can flip on the game right now and see, you know, a lot of guys are getting beat one-on-one. You know, there's not as much defensive communication, or it doesn't really look like five guys are on a string the way it does whenever they're playing really well. But I don't know if you can attribute that to one thing or the other. You know, I think it's probably a whole lot of things, to be honest. You know, I mean, I know Luke and Kyrie are playing a ton of minutes, so they're probably tired, but they have to push through it. But hey, they got to do so much on offense, but that doesn't matter. You still got to lock it in. I mean, every single player is facing their own challenges right now. And so I just don't know if you can attribute it to one thing any more than you could any other number of reasons. But I mean, it is really hard to argue with the results right now, and the results are definitely not what they wanted to see.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Speaking of those results, is there any possibility in your mind it's just a small sample size, or are these like sustainably bad things that we're seeing?
You know, I think that here's one thing that I think could turn around. The Mavs generally this season do give up a lot of corner threes, and that's one shot that you do not want to allow. But the Mavs are like top five in conceding those shots. But generally, they only concede that shot to guys that they deem to be bad shooters. It just so happens that over these last few games, they have been playing against teams that don't really play bad shooters at all. So, you know, whether the schedule eases up, or maybe they play a good team, but that good team has a guy you don't fear as much, then that number alone could come down, which could give you an extra 3 points per game, or it could save you an extra 6 points per game even. But that's a really kind of wishy-washy thing to rely on, because anybody can get hot in the NBA. I mean, we saw Max Strus bury five threes in like 4 minutes at the end of that Cleveland game. Now, he's a great shooter.
Amazing.
But he still scored 15 points in 5 minutes, you know, and a win turned into a loss. And so, you know, you can't count on guys just missing shots, but some of it is just going to be pure regression to the mean. But again, it comes back to things that you can control. Just, you have to watch the tape and realize, man, maybe this situation is not the best time to gamble. You know, maybe right now is not the best time to jump a passing lane. Maybe now is not the best time to try and block a shot. Maybe I should just box out instead. You know, maybe I shouldn't try and draw a charge. Maybe I should just try and establish myself in good position. You know, these things where like maybe you're trying so hard to make a splash play that instead you make a mistake. You know, just like play within yourself, play within the system, and keep fighting. You know, these are the most like elementary, rudimentary, like coach speak things, but like that's really what it's going to take. Like you just have to refocus and lock it in, because, you know, I mean, on their best day, the Mavs are not going to be, you know, a top five defense or maybe even a top 10 defense. But all along, you know, the common thought is, if they're just average on defense, then they will be a playoff team because their offense is just that good. So, like, you don't have to be the best team of all time here. Just be good enough to give yourself a chance to win.
Yeah, Bobby, I mean, you brought up the personnel a couple of times, and I get it, right? I mean, there's still some weaknesses you look at on that roster, but to your point about this defense at least being average, with the moves that they made at the deadline, adding Gafford. Now you've got a couple of quality bigs there with Lively, adding a PJ Washington. You think that's a better fit. Is there an excuse for this team not to be at least average defensively? They're the deepest they've been, certainly in Luka Doncic's era.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they should be better. They should certainly not be the worst defense, you know, which unfortunately they have been over the last, whatever it is, five or six games now. They should be much closer to average. They should be maybe even above average. But, you know, in order to do, like, that's not just going to happen by itself. You know, I think it's kind of, like, interesting talking about the Mavs because Luka and Kyrie are so good on offense, right, that you can just kind of say they can just sleepwalk their way to being a top-half offense just because those guys are so dang good. But they don't have, like, a Luka-level defender or a Kyrie-level defender, you know what I mean, where they can just kind of – you can roll Rudy Gobert out on the court and you're going to have a top-half defense. Like, it doesn't even matter. It could be, you know, me and the three of y'all out there playing with him, and we're still going to be great because we got Gobert. You know, the Mavs don't have guys like that. They have good defenders. You know, Lively and Gafford are good around the rim. PJ Washington's been good. Josh Green can be good. Derek Jones Jr., Dante Exum, those guys are good, but they don't have like these all defense level difference makers, you know? And so everyone still needs to lock in. And, you know, I don't want to be as cynical as someone who would just say you're only as good as your weakest link, but teams are really going at Luka and Kyrie a lot. And so that means that those two have to dig in. And Tim, you know, same thing for Tim Hardaway Jr. Like PJ Washington is good. If I'm a superstar, I'm going to attack a guy that's not PJ Washington, and I'm going to make them prove that they can stop me. So, you know, everybody does need to step up. That includes Luka and Kyrie, but that also includes everyone else on the roster because, I mean, they need everybody to play as well as they can just to be that defense that's good enough to give them a chance to win games.
Man, so much good stuff from Bobby. I think in conclusion, you know, you've said so many things that got my mind working. Without an elite defender, I think they need, you know, shooters who are also good athletes. It seems like that while they've done a really good job, or Nico's done a great job accumulating talent, maybe another trade to consolidate talent is really what this team needs to find that elite defender and then maybe another, you know, really strong two-way player instead of the collection of guys that they have that are deep but maybe not good enough with the right traits. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I think so. You know, they got bigger. They got more athletic. I think they're definitely a faster team now than they were going into the deadline. But they still have some issues defending the point of attack. And, you know, I still think just positionally they could still just get a little bigger, maybe a little deeper. And then, like, okay, perfect example, Derek Jones Jr., easily their best point of attack defender. And his shooting is trending up these last few games. But for a while, he was shooting in the 20s from three. So can you find a guy that's as good at defending as Derrick Jones is, but that's as good at shooting as somebody like Tim or somebody like Josh Green, who's a 40-plus percent three-point shooter? You know, that is kind of the guy that they need, and they need not just one of them, but like four of them. You know, and then all of a sudden now you're really cooking. So I think they have taken some steps forward conceptually, philosophically, you know, in terms of size and all these other things, but the job is not finished yet, and unfortunately, you know, we're seeing the proof right now. But I don't think it's like a lost cause or anything. I don't want to like be smashing my panic button, but okay. Time is running out, gentlemen, so we cannot waste it.
Words of wisdom once again, Bobby. Appreciate you. Have a great afternoon, and let's go get these Heat on Thursday night.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Let's go.
Thanks, Bobby.
There he is, Bobby Carella, Mavs.com with you in the G-Back Nation. It's tomorrow night with the Heat. Friday night, it's one of the next two nights they're going to take on the Heat. And that's going to be a great opportunity for the Mavs to bounce back and start to get some momentum going. Top 10 at 420 is next. Woolchuck, where are we heading?
Well, it is National Oreo Day and National Frozen Food Day. I left it up to the Tolos. Do you want the Oreos? Do you want the frozen food list? That's next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.